Hi guys, Salam Nerds here, and we want to talk to you guys about the floods in Pakistan that have damaged almost 1 million homes and wiped out entire villages. The flooding in Pakistan is due to climate change. The melting glaciers and torrential rain have caused the death tolls to be in the thousands, with more than 33 million people displaced. One third of Pakistan is underwater. This is more than a national emergency, this is a humanitarian catastrophe. This is because the CO2 emissions produced by countries like the UK, the US, Russia, and France. Pakistan does not have the infrastructure to withstand this devastation. Even though Pakistan is one of the lowest producers of GHG at 1%, it is one of the top 5 worst affected by climate change. We here at Salam Nerds are sending direct links to you guys to Islamic Relief so you can donate. Please donate generously.
Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast.
All right, guys, you ready for your first EDM festival?
Let's go!
My first EDM festival. Yo, 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 it's the Salam Nerds! My name is Steve, a.k.a. Watch the Geek. I'm here with my boy, Jazz. Yo, what's up? We got some new friends up in here.
Thank you to our supporters. Please like, comment, share, and subscribe.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neves, aka Watch with Neves, and I'm here at my co-host Jazz, aka Orange is the New Jazz. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Like, because he's in prison.
Yes, he's in prison.
Okay, I was really wondering how you're gonna like make that one work, but yes, okay, that worked. Yeah, no, I was like, wait a second.
My nicknames are very clever, man. They're getting there.
Well done, man.
I have some off days. But when they're good, they're good.
Yeah, this one hit. Like, I genuinely had a laugh there for a second. Caught me from left field. Like, it was good.
We're going into it, man. We're going to go into prison reform. Today's going to be a big episode, man. But let's first shout out our guest, Wara. What's going on? Back-to-back episodes. What is this?
I know. What is this? I just couldn't get enough of you guys. And I just, y'all, I freaking love Andor. It has reignited my love of at least some of Star Wars. We'll get in a larger conversation on that. But it's absolutely fantastic. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you, Neebs and Jazz, so much again for having me back on.
We might just have to make you a resident here.
Listen, on, if there is something you really, really like, let us know. Because, like, when we did House of the Dragon, Rich and Cat Lady JJ were basically on every single episode. We do not mind having, like, a what we call is family. We don't mind having a little bit of family come in and join us as much as they want. So feel free, man. But today's episode is going to be very, very interesting. Oh my God. Listen, overall, like, let's just take a step back. And like, we're in episode 8. How do we feel about the show overall? Because I am over the moon of the show. It was a slow burn. It took a while. And I was like, oh, this is good. And then I'm like, okay, this is getting really good. And now I'm like, this is fantastic. This puts the war in Star Wars, and this, like, really, really understand, like, what's happening with the Empire, why it's wrong, why fascism is wrong, why, like, authoritarian states are wrong, why a police state is wrong, like, prison reform, like, all these things. Like, that's what I love about media. Media is not supposed to inform you necessarily, but spark an interest in something where you will go and you will find out what you need to find out. Because honestly, after watching this episode, I was like, between this and Orange is the New Black, I'm like, I need to learn more about prison reform. Because honestly, it's modern day slavery. And I've heard people say it, but like, sometimes you just gotta see it in your favorite, like, media to really connect with you emotionally. Like, not that it wasn't clicked to me emotionally before, but like, I've never done or been inspired to do in a specific amount of research on it. But watching this show really made me feel like I have such a knowledge gap between what's really happening and I need to know more. And I love that Star Wars had done that. And I feel like I started doing that a little bit when I was watching Orange is the Black also. But this just reignited it. And it's really, really good, man. This is like top Star Wars. What do you guys feel, Swara?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said and more. And I'm going to step back even further and just talk about Disney Plus shows overall. My personal frustration with a lot of Disney shows overall. Sometimes there are exceptions, such as exceptionally with Andor, but often as a Disney property, these like film and TV, they just don't really want to quote unquote go there. Or if they do, they'll inject it with a lot of respectability politics. Falcon and Winter Soldier. And it's just like really frustrating. True. Because we know like the power that these stories could have on such a wide level. I think previously we got some of it with, you know, one of our favorite Disney Plus shows, Miss Marvel, with them actually tackling like systemic Islamophobia and how that plays into government surveillance. But even in Miss Marvel, something that frustrated me about the show compared to the comics, they had the interpersonal racism and Islamophobia Kamala Khan would deal with on a day-to-day basis, such as with Zoe and other classmates. But they took that all out of the show because it was maybe because it was quote-unquote too real because Disney wouldn't allow that. However, what they do so brilliantly with Andor and in the Star Wars universe, which is amongst humans by all means like essentially colorblind and doesn't have like religion, doesn't have Islam, you know, the prejudice we are used to knowing. But what it does so effectively is still, like you said, Neith, it shows you the brutality of fascism, the brutality of prison labor, of classism, of just the brutality of these oppressive systems. And that's what Tony Gilroy and his writing staff, and also I gotta give like credit to like, I mean, I hope that in season two they do have more writers of color. I will say that. But for this like all white team that's doing Andor, absolutely brilliant. Kudos to white excellence. Like white excellence. And they just really seem to get it. And I'm so impressed. And with the amazing performances of Diego Luna, Varada Sethu, who plays Cinta, the actress who plays Vel, and others, Mon Mothma, played by Genevieve O'Reilly, like it just comes together so well and just makes such a powerful impact. And especially with this episode that, like you said, Neves, shows the brutality of prison labor and how it is literally modern day slavery. You know, from the Black Lives Matter protest and the whole conversation started there, we understand more about how the carceral system in the US, it is essentially modern day slavery. And Andor, even though it doesn't have the racialized, you know, politics of it, it does still convey that so well. And like it inspired you and like many others to go read up on prison labor. And I love Andor so much. It's one of the best Star Wars properties ever made. And I can't wait for the next four episodes of this season.
Same. Jazz, what about you, man?
Okay. So you mentioned like prison labor and all this, and so I bounce off of it. When I was watching this episode, right, my first thought, I don't know, like, this is not like a shot at California or anything, because prison labor is everywhere. I mean, God, I'm in Texas. It's happening on the farms and the borders. But my first thought there was like the California firefighters, right? There are 1,000 inmates in California. They get paid $2 to $5 a day to fight fires. And I'm just like, bruh, this show, although it's not showing exactly, you know, what people are going through here, it brought it to life. Like, it brought that struggle to life. It brought the emotions to life, like what they're going through. When Andor was in that prison, right, and like they had specialized gear to prevent themselves from being shocked, but then they're all barefoot. I'm like, whoa, this hits. Like, this is exactly what I can imagine happens in a prison.
Yeah, no, for real, man. It was really telling, and I really enjoyed that they put this in there, because this is what I want to see in my Star Wars, man. And it was really, really cool to see. So yeah, Let's get into it. Because one of the things that I think they tackle really well when they show him in prison is to show how incentivized they are to have people in prison. They have cheap labor. Yeah. They're making all this stuff. And like, prison should never be a thing where people should be incentivized to have more prisoners. Like, that makes no sense, right?
And but that's what we have here in the U.S.
The prison industrial complex. It's a thing.
It's wild. It's wild. And like, you think like the people who are affected are like poor minorities, right? Black and brown
always
folks.
Yeah.
And it's crazy that like, obviously these things are something that the rich people and the rich class won't ever have to do with, because they have lawyers, they have ways to get out of it, right? But it's always the poor people who don't. And then
and
you're
I
like,
actually liked how they justify or how people justify it in real life. They showed that in here. Like, oh, yep. If you have nothing to hide or you have nothing yes. wrong, you have nothing to worry about. Right. I'm like, oh, you said it.
Yes, in Mon Mothma's party, right? The, one yeah. of the guys says that. And they're like, well, like, I don't want to know what your definition of wrong is, right? Your definition right. of wrong could be something completely different. Mm-hmm. It's wild.
That's how self-defense, for example, right? Mm-hmm. What is self-defense? And why do I have the right to kill you for it? Like,
right. And then like the comment, like, these are dangerous times. Like, you hear those words all the time, right? Like, these mm-hmm. are dangerous times, and the used to invoke the fear and justify fashion, like these yeah. fashion. Yeah. I don't know. Really, really mm-hmm. love that part. Yeah.
Right around election time. How great is this?
I know. Right around election that. Time. That's really, really cool. Man, that is wild. And there was also talk about like surveillance and protection and all this stuff, and like that's also something that like happened here, right? Like for mm-hmm. like I don't know why I needed to see something a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away to realize that it's happening right here at home. Like, I've always known. But like sometimes you don't get that emotional connection because like we don't watch the news. We're so desensitized to the news. But when you watch a TV show, you kind of let down that barrier, right? That desensitization, because you want to let yourself feel the emotions of the TV show. So sometimes, even though on the news it's happening and you're just desensitized to all the crime and all the injustice, sometimes you watch on a TV show and it reignites that, and it's like, why have I been desensitized to this for so long? And that's what I really, really loved
about. Okay, when you said you saw it on TV, I'm like, wait a second, which news channel openly admits that the government is spying on us? I'm like, they're not gonna say that out loud. What?
No, that's right. Like, and they always spin it too, right? There's always a spin to it, so it's one of those things.
So it's sort of a justification or portraying of quote unquote both sides of it. But what you have here is with the power of storytelling, the power of being able to convey these messages, and not that, you know, these stories are going to tell you exactly what you should do, but in portraying it. And it's like, and there's been this conversation, I mean, I'm taking it to comics, but like there's often this conversation about how superhero stories are inherently political. Star Wars is inherently political, and there's always going to be some message, you know, given either way. And you know, I'm going to bring the Alan Moore discourse and what he said about superheroes like a few weeks ago. And, you know, how he said it's like, quote unquote, immature. But, you know, I'm going to give a shout out to my friends at the But Why Though podcast, who had a really great conversation on it. And the core of his message was that these stories could be used to push fascist ideology if we don't stay aware of who the storytellers are or what these large companies are going to say. You know, like, I'm really impressed. I'm not saying that Disney is a fascist company or anything like that, but I'm still like really impressed that Disney allowed the Andor creators and Lucasfilm allowed them to go there. And I'll just say, like, I've heard rumors that like Lucasfilm knows that Andor is one of the best things they've ever made, and like are just so impressed with it. And I just like, yes, please, 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 more of this. That it's just like, and it's not, again, being directly political of like having you tell
the
like
show's called Star Wars, it's
right. I know, but what I mean is like directly political to like our own time and you know, like our own like specific politics, but in terms of like basic right and wrong of, you know, what happens in war, about like what happens today in current events, and getting to have like a wide audience view this, and it being done so well with so many amazing performances. Also in this episode, gotta give a shout out to Iraqi icon Andy Serkis when he appeared. Like, I was just like, amazing. Bro. I was so
also excited. Also, I've never seen him, like, I've probably seen him, but like for some reason in this show he looks more Arab than ever. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but I'm just like, that's like,
it's because he's in prison. He's in Guantanamo, so it seems more real.
I don't know what it was, but I'm like, he looks like somebody's uncle, like one of my friend's uncle right now. I was like, I've never seen him look this Arab. It's so funny. Oh, man.
That's horrible for me to say, but no, what it was, it was that scene where they all collectively got steam blasted.
Yeah.
And you saw him look old there. Like, you saw the spots on his body, the wrinkles and all that. Like, he looked older here compared to his roles where they, you know, airbrush him and make him look much younger than he is.
But speaking of that scene, there's like all these overtones about like Nazi camps, right? Like how they get separated into labor camp and how they went through that little steam shower. Like, there's a lot of like allegories here, which I think are like just layers and layers of detail. Like, it's really, and the thing is, a lot of TikToks where people don't like this show, and it blows me away. And like, I get it, your space ninjas are not here, your space wizards are not here, your bounty hunters with laser guns are not here. I get it, they're not here, right? But it's the best part of Star Wars, and you're missing it, man. It's so good.
Absolutely.
I love when people are like, there was a tweet back in the day where someone's like, Star Wars is about the Vietnam War, and someone's like, no, unless the Empire was America, which doesn't make sense.
George Lucas literally said that the Empire was based on the United States and that the Rebels were based on the Vietnamese Viet Cong.
Actually, no, I think the tweet was like supposed to be ironic, but like, people missed that completely,
right?
And so a lot of people ended up agreeing with it and retweeting it, like
You know what I thought was really interesting too is the way they see how their spirits get like knocked down. Like, they could get food, but like, the food wouldn't have taste unless they were the number one production crew that day, right? And they make them compete against each other.
That's wild.
So they make them compete against each other in that set. For flavor, right? It's so wild.
Oh my God. It's like, it's literally capitalism in a nutshell. Like, you cannot have flavor if you don't work hard enough. It's like, so...
Yes.
Wow.
No Starbucks and avocado toast for you.
Right?
You need to save up and buy a house.
But no, not only that, but then you see Andy Serkis' character, who's like middle management, who's also in the cog, but he's higher than everyone else. Mm-hmm. So he has incentives to keep everything running because he has a little bit more. It's the same thing here, man. It's the same thing. The 1% has everything, and then the middle class keeps the 1% going because they're above the poverty line and they want to make sure that like, they're still somewhere in the middle.
And they're the ones at the party drinking that worm wine thing, whatever it was. God.
The contrast between those scenes is amazing.
This is so artfully done. Like, I love the juxtaposition they did there.
Dude, this was the episode. The episode. I was like, everything's coming together. They gave us a slow burn, but like, it was so worth it. It was
Best Star Wars show ever. It really is.
Oh man. And then the other thing that I think they do very interesting is like, they don't show like, oh, both sides are good, but they also don't show the Empire as like complete evil people, because the people there are middle management too. You see people like
the banality of evil,
the banality of evil. Wow, that's the new podcast. Banality of evil.
We're gonna talk about corporate cultures.
Oh man, too real.
We're gonna talk about why Deloitte is different from PwC and EY and KPMG, right? And how all different from Bain and McKinsey.
it's wild how we get trapped in this rat race, right? And we're all like, you know, hustle culture and all of this stuff, and it's kind of wild. And I really loved it. And the thing is, like, Karn, you see him get interrogated, and they're like, why do you keep sending these reports? Like, I still want to catch this guy. He's in his mind, he still thinks he's doing the right thing. He still thinks he's been wrong. And like, he killed somebody. He killed these two people, which he's right. That did happen. We need to bring this man to justice.
Who would have killed him, by the way? Who would have killed Cassian, by the way?
Yeah. It was wild.
What's self-defense again? What?
Exactly, right? Exactly.
Yeah, it's just like, it, you know, when we say like banality of evil, just like you said, Neems, everyone gets caught in like this corporate capitalistic structure of like simply having to live their lives this way. And that in and of itself is a form of oppression, of like being forced to have your energy and time drained to let the 1% still be in, you know, in their upper echelons. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you get so caught up in it, you know, as a person simply trying to get by. And I think that's another thing the series does really well, like, especially as we see in the beginning, between Cassian and his mom, and like, Adria Ardona's character, I forget her name at the moment, Biggs. But Biggs, yeah.
Never forget Biggs.
Biggs, yeah, she's great. No, it's like, And her performance is great this episode as well. Sorry, this is another thing. There are a lot of moving parts in the show, but it never feels like it gets like bogged down at all. Like there's so much to keep track of. It's so dense in the best way possible, which another thing I love about it. But yeah, it like shows you like the struggles of the working class essentially, and like them heaving under the oppression of this system. And then Cassian is the one who rises up, you know, through circumstances of like trying to escape from the Empire because of what happened to him when he was a kid. And it's like, it just shows you so many different facets of the oppression of the Empire. And I think it does that brilliantly.
It also shows you just how in our society, if you want to move up, a lot of times it's not hard work. It's who you know. Mm-hmm. And in Andor's case, you just get really fucking lucky where you meet the right person and they do all this for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's life. Like, truly, like where I am today, I would not be here if it was not for my dad and a handful of mentors I've had growing up. Mm-hmm. I hit the lottery being born to this family, right? Not everybody has that. And not everybody even thinks about these kinds of things. Like, I am blessed to be here. But life, that's luck. And that's all it is.
Well, speaking of blessed, let's talk about Biggs, because something about her. I don't know what it is, but whenever she's on the screen, my heart flutters. Like I feel like I'm having a heart attack. Like I'm just like,
very attractive. Yeah,
she's so like, she's not even attractive. She's just beautiful. Like it's like looking at an angel. I'm just like wild. If next Comic Con she's there, like I'll be in line. Like waiting an autograph. It's gonna be wild. You're gonna have to like someone's gonna have to escort me. Make sure I don't make a fool of myself. Because oh my god,
I got you, man. Don't worry.
yeah. But we see her like she's such a kind person where she's taking care of Andor's mom while he's away, and like, she's like, you know, his mom hurt herself. Why did she hurt herself? She was looking for this tunnel that she wants the rebellion to kind of come from. And she's like, you know, his mom's going crazy at the moment. She's full rebel right now. Biggs is trying to just, you know, really just figure out what's going on. And she's like, listen, I need to call somebody because this lady is like a little bit out of control, right? So she goes and she contacts Luthen. I didn't even know that she could do that. I forgot. It's been so many episodes ago that like I forgot.
That was like episode 2 or 3, where she was able to do that. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's right. She can do that. But then you see his assistant calling the shots. Like, you think that she's just the assistant, but she's like, no. And kind of just telling him, like, listen, we got to shut this down. Tell me to shut it down. And it was such a weird thing where she's like telling him what to do, but she's telling him to tell her what to do, which I thought was really interesting. What did you guys think about that?
She's a mirror.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like she has more control than we know. I think she's going to turn out to be someone more important than we know. Maybe his sister. Who knows? I don't know. I feel
I really hope it's not his sister because, you know, they were... Cassian, we're still talking about Biggs, right?
No. I'm not talking about
Clay.
Clay. Oh, sorry. Okay, sorry, I got mixed up for a second.
Biggs pulls like Luthen, and then the assistant picks up.
That has been a theory for a while now, and I'm not sure how I feel about it, to be honest, because I do know that the actress, you know, isn't Latine like Diego Luna is, and although I do also know the younger actress who played his sister also wasn't Latine, actually just a white British actress, so it could be. I just like, I don't know, I think like culturally, I mean obviously I'm not Latine, so I can't like, you know, speak on behalf of them, but I do think it would be like more meaningful if it was a Latine actress playing his sister. Having said that, it could be. Totally could be. So I'm just like,
The only reason I have that theory is because she seems more important than she was led on to be, right? So I'm really curious, especially when she talked to Val in the previous episode without him knowing. So like something's happening there.
Something's happening there. Yeah, totally.
Which I thought is pretty interesting. And then we also see, what's the other guy? This guy named Pak get arrested, right? Yeah. So he gets arrested and then they take
his name is Salman, by the way.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. I don't know that. In Star Wars, his name's Salman.
Yeah, so they take him in, and then the real reason to take him in, I felt like, was they were going to take Bix in, and they wanted her to see what they did to him, because they were like, bring her in, and then when she come in, they're like, why did you bring her in? She wasn't supposed to see this. I was like, yo, so manipulative. Like, it was so good. I was like, look at the mind games they're playing with these people here. It was really cool to see. What are your thoughts?
Man, like, you just said it. Like, what thoughts are there when you said everything I'm thinking? Like,
all right. So
yeah, for real. Although I will also just say, like, Salman Pak, he's played by actor Abin Galea, who's a British Indian descent, and I think that is the first time we've ever had any Swanasa person in Star Wars have, other than Tala in Obi-Wan Kenobi. She was the first, and then him, who are of that descent, and actually have a name that sounds like from our region. So that's
great. Oh yeah. what was Camille Nanjiani's name? I forgot. It was something really weird.
Yeah, I don't think it was something South Asian, but let me...
No, it was just something random. all right. Now, here's something that I want to talk about, which I thought was super cool. I knew it was coming, but I didn't know when, and that was Saw. It was because thing is, like, when you see him in Rogue One, he's a little out of it in Rogue One.
Oh, he's
like,
completely out of it.
He's been through shit, right? He's been through a lot. But here, he's coherent and he's still fanatical. And like, to hear him talk and to see where he went from like Clone Wars to Rebel to this, and you're like, this is the Saw we always known about, but we never got to see. And the conversation,
someone in his prime, really.
Yes. And the conversation was so good because it was so philosophical. And you're like, oh, what does he believe in? And he's talking about this person's a separatist, this person's that. So there's all these different factions within the rebels, and you're kind of like, whoa, this
is
so
how it
deeper.
Works out, really. Yeah. Yeah, it always works out like that. You always have, like, in revolutionary movements, like, if we want to get like real for a second, we want to look at Iran and what happened in the Islamic Revolution, the Iranian Revolution in 1979. It was initially really a back then, as well as right now, really a woman-led movement. Mm-hmm. And there were so many, like, you know, amazing, like, women, like, leading it, and, like, for equal rights and for more equity across, like, different populations in Iran. But then you really just had the Islamists, like, really take over the movement, and thus you got the Islamic Republic of Iran. You have that happen in so many throughout history and so many, again, different movements. And, you know, what Saw was talking about here now, Saw, like, and I love how they made it very explicit. Like, he is an anarchist.
Mm-hmm.
He does not believe in any system of government. And he just, like, really wants to do away with all of it. He views it all as oppression. He just, like, wants, like, the plants to do as they will. But you can, like, delve deeper into that, and I want to give a shout out to Claudia Gray's Bloodlines book that came out several years ago, which takes place during the sequel trilogy era, and it has Leia sort of in the midst of like two different factions of the Senate, one that wants more centralized structure in the galaxy and one that wants something more decentralized. You delve more into the politics and you begin to really question, this is where like Star Wars can be really great politically, like having the viewer question like, okay, what does the Republic actually do? Is the Republic like good for all of its various citizens? Because the Republic, if we recall, did eventually become the Empire. It wasn't simply like Palpatine took over. It was like all these systems in place, and, you know, just sure, like, I will say, like, a lot of the politics of Star Wars don't make any sense, but when you, like, still just think about it philosophically as they do in this episode and, like, just touch on that and get the viewer to think critically on it, then it can just, like, have some really great conversations, even though, like, okay, you know how there's, like, a debate over, like, canon, what's canon, not canon, that happens in Star Wars? The politics are the same. Like, there's no, like, real set system, it seems like, but we can have great debates over it and, like, talk about how, you know, have great philosophical debates over it, like, should it be decentralized? Should it be anarchist? Should it be, like, should it actually, in fact, be an empire? Some people could genuinely make a very deranged argument for that. So it's just, like, I love, like, when it's just asks the viewer to think critically on what the system should be.
Yeah, I don't want to derail you there, but I was like, wait a second, the politics doesn't make sense. This is like our politics. Like nothing's changed.
Fair enough.
No, but I did like the whole. The best thing about the anarchy was a quote that he said, like, anarchy is a seductive concept. I was like, great mm-hmm. quote. And then when he goes, like, it is a bit of a luxury to a man in a cave. And I'm like, yo, this is some Taliban stuff right there, man. Like, people trying to break down empires from a cave. To them, anarchy is the best thing they want to do, so they can instill whatever they want in there. And I was just like, interesting they would say that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they know exactly what they're doing, and I love it so much. That's like the biggest issue with anarchy or libertarianism is that you forget the biggest issue is that you're not in this little microcosm where right. it can work. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot of shit out there that you got to deal with, mm-hmm. and just pure anarchy will never work.
Yeah, it's what people fear. No. It's literally like in the speech that Palpatine made, like, you know, make me emperor and you will have peace and security across the galaxy.
Yeah.
Want to take it to real world politics? It's what Republican and right wing politicians use all the time. Like they say, look at these increasing crime rates.
Crime is up.
Crime is up. Like we got to like keep funding the police, even though police keep killing black and brown people. And it's like, that's how they get you through that fear. Like fear mm-hmm. is such a powerful motivating force.
Same thing with immigration. Like,
Exactly. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's just like it's all like for the right wing, it's all about politics of fear and mm-hmm. making you distrust like your fellow people around you, and it's horrifying. You know that it still does work to terrifying degrees. And
I'll go on.
No, I was just gonna say, I think that Andor like reminds us that we need to be vigilant about it. Please, Jazz, go ahead.
Yeah, so like I am a legal observer for the ACLU. I was, you know, asked to go observe this week at some of the polling locations. And sure enough, we have people from out of state here who are like, yeah, you Democrats, you're not American, you leave the country, you're destroying everything, you want New World Order. And I'm like, ma'am, I'm just here to watch. I'm just here eating Taco Bell, watching. I have no idea what you're talking about. But, you know, they want to use those words to instill fear in people walking by to get them to vote a certain way. It's like, yeah, well, it's happening. It's happening right now.
Yeah. The other thing that I really like about this is that they don't show Luthen as innocent either, because like one of the things is he is pushing for all this oppression, because oppression breeds rebellion, and he wants them to push them to that edge and push them more and more and more until they show their hands. And Mon Mothma is like, people will die, and he's like, yeah, that's the plan, that's always been the plan. And that's just wild to me. It just adds layers to it, because there's no clean-cut good guy here.
You've never met an accelerationist, is what they're called.
Oh, that what they're called? No, I've never heard that.
That's what they're called. That's wild. So like they also believe like evolution, right? That some people need to be culled just to make the human race stronger.
Oh my god.
We accelerate our evolution by killing people who don't need to be in the gene pool. Like these people exist.
No, but I will actually come to Luthen's defense here. I forget like who wrote about it, but essentially what he's advocating for is like, we need to be more extreme here so we can get the empire to overreact, and thus the people generally will see more and more that they are really an oppressive force and will like rally more to us, like be more sympathetic to the rebels. So that's like sort of his MO. But you're right, he is also an accelerationist. He is playing an extremely dangerous game. He is like essentially using people's lives for his own geopolitical agenda. And even though he steadfastly believes he's doing good, like we know, like in the long run, it does have a good outcome, but it shows that there's no one's hands are clean, essentially.
Right.
Yeah. The accelerationist actually reminds me of like what people were talking about last election when the whole Palestine and Israel stuff happened. And they were like, evangelicals want Israel to be all Jewish because they want that to happen as soon as possible so they can have the the rapture and they can go to heaven, which is one of the things that like you hear. So that's what it reminded me of.
Yes, because it's going to happen when all of Palestine is Jewish. Like, clearly that's what's going to happen. Like,
it's wild that they they do that.
I laugh about it, but it's really tragic, actually.
Yes.
No, but once you guys said acceleration, I was like,
free Palestine.
Of course. But once you guys said acceleration, it's like, I was like, started thinking, I was like, whoa, they really exist. That's really real stuff here. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. So, very, very interesting. And the other thing is, like, the best thing about this show is that all of Star Wars just feels like family drama. It's the Skywalkers, the Solos. It's just
I'm so sick of this family. Do away with them. The only way I will accept them was in Obi-Wan Kenobi, which I loved. Shout out to the amazing Deborah Chow and co-writer Hossein Amini. Like, love having, like, East and West Asian creators in Star Wars, as they should be, especially whenever they're writing the Jedi, because the Jedi will always be an inherently Orientalist concept until we have Swanasa and East Asian people writing and creating them. So, but other than that, I am so sick of the Skywalkers. I'm so sick of the Solos. Let this family rest, please. Sorry, go ahead.
Exactly. No, but exactly. But not just the annoyance of it. It's just that it's like, everything was almost always so much deeper than just this family squabble. It was so much more different. There was so much stuff happening in the Empire, so much stuff happening on other planets in the universe. And like the movies make it seem like it's just one family having drama the whole time. When this one shows you it's government, it's like whatchamacallit, oppression, it's prison reform, it's all of these things that we never got to see, and we finally get to see it, and that's why this is my favorite Star Wars content. Like,
isn't that phenomenal history? Like, do we not have monarchies which are just families squabbling and real world people paying the price for it?
Yeah, but we never got to see the real world people, right? And this one shows the real world people. Yeah, that's who I want to see. That's whose stories I care about.
Yeah.
You know, give a shout out to like another streaming service. I think that's what The Crown on Netflix does really well. Like, obviously, you know, the royal family is terrible and, like, you know, it should be abolished, but like, it does such a good job at showing you both like their internal squabbles and the effects, like, for the wider England and the rest of the world that they colonized. But also, like, on this series of Star Wars, like, Neves, what I think it does really well, it actually takes I feel like it's taking cues almost. I'm not sure necessarily, but it reminds me. I've gotten into Star Trek so much the last few years. This is what Star Trek is all about: the politics, the various different peoples, the systems, the philosophical questions. Like, it's injected into this other space franchise while still remaining very much Star Wars, and I love that. I'm glad I can say I love both Star Trek and, again, some Star Wars. So I'm really happy for that.
Very good, very good. Listen, we're reaching the end of our episode, but Swar, thank you so much for coming on. This is probably one of the best episodes we've had, because we got talked about a lot of serious stuff.
Yeah.
We talked about so much.
this shit got real, this episode. Shit got real. And I really enjoyed it, and I really think that more people should watch the show. I think people should watch the show, ask themselves questions, try to find out information, see where you can help, see what you can do as an individual, because, you know, sometimes, you know, art imitates reality, reality imitates art, man. It's one of those things. Swara, before you go, let people know where they can find you. Where can they find you?
Well, thank you so much for having me back on again. This was a blast. Y'all can find me on Twitter at SpiderSwars. I'm on Instagram at Swarzy_8. I am a writer for Nerds of Color. I do interviews for them, and I also have written for Primetimer.com. IO9, Polygon, The New Arab. So please check out my pieces there. And I also co-host my own podcast, The Middle Geeks, where my co-host May and I were on the Nerds of Color Podcast Network, and we discuss anything and everything related to Swana/Mina media and give our takes on it. We just reviewed Black Adam, so with our friend Hannah Flint. So please go check that out, that conversation. And I will say Black Adam is a movie, and we hear about why on our podcast.
Very cool. Very cool, man. Thanks so much for joining us. And guys, thank you for listening in and tuning in. And until next time, guys, Salam, nerds.
Peace.
Salam.